So I will call to order the Pacific City Joint Water and Sanitary Authority Board of Directors business meeting. It is April 6, 2021 at 5 p.m. and we are meeting via video teleconferencing per the governor's recommendations. I'll call the roll. Cameron Goetz?
Here.
Sean Carlton?
Here.
Ann Price?
Here.
Thank you. And Tom is trying to connect. So at this point, he is not present until we get a connection for him. Other than that, all directors are present. Item 3 on our agenda is the authority manager search. And with us is Bill McDonald from Prothman. You all have... we've discussed the search before. Most of us, I think all of us, have been through it. And Bill is here to answer any of our questions about the process or about the contract. And Bill, do you want to start just by saying a little bit about the profile and the schedule, the tentative schedule that we're looking at?
I did not see the schedule Sonia might have sent to you, but it's my understanding you want to stand this thing up pretty quick. And I understand Michelle would like to be able to retire sometime. So I understand that's a priority. Usually, you know, it can take five or 6 months, you know. Sometimes it will be less than that. It kind of depends on the response we get. Last time we had to go two laps and then didn't end up with the best possible result. So it's hard to say, you know. This is not an easy recruitment for a couple of reasons. You know, it's you're a rural community, and that tends not to attract as many candidates. And remembering last time, you did attract some good candidates that were fairly close, that looked really good, but was holding on to them, you know. And I think one of the things going into this recruitment that I'm going to make sure I do is really kind of try to find out at the front end how dead serious they are. You know, I understand people floating a fleece, but I, for one, never felt like it was kosher to just go through the drill and then back out at the last minute. So that's one thing on my end that I want to make sure that that we do.
Weed out.
Go ahead.
Weed out.
Well, you know, you gotta kind of do that diplomatically. But I can ask them questions about how serious they are. You know, what their motivation is, and try to get a sense of that at the front end. You know, we had some candidates that I thought were more serious than they were, and this happens. You know, the closer and closer it gets to the real deal, you know, like when they know, hey, I got a final interview on this thing, then they start, you know, if they're not 100% in, then that'll start showing up. So anyway, I'm going to figure out a way to diplomatically handle that without chasing people away. You know, I want to make sure we have good candidates, but I want to be able to bring people to you that I think are going to stick. Carolyn and I talked about process, and I don't want to get off on a rabbit trail, but in terms of the final part of this thing, he has some interest in what we call something like an assessment center, like a problem that somebody has to address and give how they would handle that problem, make a formal presentation so you get a sense of their critical thinking, analytical ability, and their presentation skills. And that might be a separate panel from the ones that are just asking the interview questions.
Now, Bill...
Go ahead.
He's on. Let him finish, Cameron.
No, but he'd be doing that process before anything would come to us. Isn't that the part that you do?
No, well, I will do my screening. I'll do my interviews and sort through the candidates. But when we get to the final process, Carolyn was saying, I want to have something more than just interviews. I want to kind of put them through some drill. So I'm just trying to kind of touch the pieces here.
Okay.
I'll do the interview questions that I do and the stuff that you got in the work session like the last time. But, you know, and then also, you know, the ones that we really like for sure, probably a little bit more backgrounding than we, you know, I think we usually do a pretty good job, but we're gonna probably make darn sure that there's not anything that we should have been able to pick up on. Those are some thoughts. I mean, we've been through the process once, and that doesn't change too much, but I think we're gonna, you know, pour a little bit more into the front end and then maybe change the back end so that we kind of see them on their feet a little bit more than just do the interview well. Carolyn, that's what I got for now, and I'm happy to take questions from folks if they got any.
Great. Does anybody have any questions at this point? John?
Yeah, I have two questions. First question, just in general, Bill, how have you seen the last year impact the recruitment process? Are you seeing more people want to move to different jobs, less people? What's your overall take on that?
Okay, that's an easy one to answer. Things basically went dark. And there's a couple of reasons for that. The COVID thing just scared the dickens out of folk, and they weren't going to let go of a good job. And then the boards didn't want to interview by Zoom. I finished some recruitments that where we used final interviews where we were using Zoom, and hopefully we can get to the point where you can do this stuff in face to face, even if you got to spread out, I don't know, whatever, because that was very difficult. And in fact, I had one client in Oregon that down in Lebanon that just paused the recruitment and said, we're going to wait until we can get people face to face. And part of that is just the chemistry of relating to somebody, kind of getting their vibe. So the short answer is things kind of went dark and people weren't moving and the agencies were kind of pausing the recruitments. We didn't do as much business last year as we normally do.
It does, and it probably pretty much answers my second question, which was how the heck do we do this thing over Zoom? So because my feeling is you can't. So
I would say if there's any way that we can structure this so that we can avoid having to do it over Zoom, that's the way to go. I kind of like the touch and feel, and you know, we're all getting our shots now. I've got mine, so I'm not a nervous guy. But you know, you're going to be a few months out, so hopefully things will get better, and we'll be able to do that. I agree with you, Sean. Zoom is not desirable. If you got to do it, you got to do it. But I just think it changes the whole dynamic. You know, I found that boards had a harder time making a decision in a Zoom kind of environment. And I don't know, it's because everybody's sitting in their own private space, you know, and you don't have the same kind of group dynamic you have in a board meeting in person, but it just made things more difficult. So that's my two cents worth on that. Any other
Thank
questions?
You.
Sure.
Ann, you had your hand up.
I did, but then I took it down. I was trying to
recall in my mind what the sequence of events was, and at some point in the process prior to the face-to-face meeting with the finalists, there was a series of questions that I believe, if I recall correctly, the board had input to. Am I remembering that correctly?
Well, there is, with the profile, we asked some questions for them to answer as part of their application process. I go through and I'll ask them a number of questions when I interview them, and I provide those to you as well as all their other application material. Then we have a work session, and then we go through those candidates together, and we look at their application, the resume, how they answered the questions that we stood up, and then you get the answers to the questions that I ask them, and then that's when you decide who you want to interview for final interviews. So there is a point at which I'm meeting with the board, and we're going through the applicants we got and picking the finalists. That answer your question?
It does. Thank you for the reminder.
Okay, very good.
Tom? Bill, I got on here late this evening because I had some connectivity problems, so you might have covered this, but I'm not sure. And Carolyn, maybe you can help me here. We've mentioned that part of this process, we might have separate interviews with operations staff to determine competency from our professionals. Is that going to be part of this new process this time?
So when we meet in the work session, we lock down what you want to do. You know, you got the final interviews. One thing you might have missed is that Carolyn talked about maybe having an assessment center type thing where we give them a problem to solve and make them stand up and make a presentation. I would think that would be a great place to have some of your operations people and maybe have an operations-related problem for them to solve. But we can work on that and kind of get that fine-tuned along the way, and for sure when we get into the work session.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Bill, I had a question in looking at the profile, and I'm wondering, I haven't shared this with the board, so I don't know what the board thinks, but in looking at the profile, we have that list of skills and abilities and something else that it's titled, and there are 22 bullet points underneath that section. And I'm wondering if part of the application questions, we couldn't ask applicants to answer, ask them to choose 5 of those 22 that they excel at and why they believe that, and 5 of the 22 that they feel that they're weak in and how they propose that they might make up the gap.
So this is what I can do, I put together some questions that I think are applicable. Why don't we I'll coordinate with you on getting the final list of questions that I asked them, and so that we're honing in on the stuff that you're real interested in. I put them through the drill on kind of the standard stuff, but we can work on that together.
Okay.
I'm happy to do that. I mean, I want to make sure that we're asking the right questions, you know, and you're hiring a manager, and you want to make sure that they know how to do that, you know, and it sounded like that might have been a little bit of an issue. So anyway, I'll work with you on that. I think to put all our heads together, you know, Satchel Paige said all of us are smarter than one of us.
Exactly. Great.
If you know who Satchel Paige is.
Yes, I do. Cameron?
You have a sports page or something?
No. You know, I heard that quote was was attributed to him. You know, I don't know whether that's true or not.
Cameron, you had a question?
Yes. Bill, I mean, with the hiring process, you know, you said that it was a slow year for you last year. Is there a pool out there of people that applicants, again?
What I think is that we will be somewhat testing the water, but my short answer is I've never had no response, you know, and we'll see. I think, you know, here's a scenario, you know, I've been sitting at home, you know, I'm the candidate. I've been sitting at home waiting for things to get back to normal. You know, I want to make a good career move, and I can't wait, you know, to make my next move. You know, you may have a bunch of those that say, man, I've been cooling my jets, waiting for this thing and waiting to get my shots and, you know, whatever, and now I'm ready to go. I would expect that more than no response. I really would. And that's just instinct. But I, you know, I think you'll get a response. We'll see. I will say that I like the profile better than last time. I think that the language that relates to the certifications and stuff, I think is a little bit less restrictive. And I always like the funnel to be broad enough at the top that you know, you don't chase candidates away. And I think that you got that this time.
Yes,
Cameron. Yeah, another one. Last time we wanted to make sure that the candidate would move here. There is a housing shortage here. I just still want to stress, and I don't know if the rest of the board feels the same way, that the candidate needs to live within the 20 minutes?
That's what you say is your requirement.
And the housing is a huge problem. I mean, for people to find someplace to buy or rent. So I still feel strongly in that would also be right there out front that the candidates would know.
I think
the one gentleman from Rockaway was thinking that he could just live in Rockaway and commute.
Yeah. So if you want, you know, the board has a right to set any standard they want, but you want my opinion? I think that requirement hurts you. And I would ask you to just ponder, how often do they really need to be 20 minutes away to respond to something that's going on here where one of our operations people hasn't already showed up? How often does the GM or the AM really have to be 20 minutes away? You know, and if you feel strongly about that, then okay. You know, I've had cities that said, you just, by God, you gotta live in the city. And when I went up to Snohomish in Washington, it was the same thing. The housing market was so tight, you couldn't even rent anything, you know, when I first got there. So I said, oh, well, I'm going to make it my goal to meet that requirement within a year or within 2 years. And they said, okay, that's good enough. We want you. And I did, you know, I got there, but I couldn't get there. But when I first got there, I got the first apartment I could get my hands on and was glad to get it. So that's just Bill's 2 cents worth. You're the board and we'll do what you want. But I do think that hurts you.
Any other questions for Bill at this point? All right. Thank you very much for your time, Bill. We appreciate you joining us, and we will be in touch.
Well, thank you very much. You're a great group, and I will make sure that we do it right, and we'll get some good candidates, and I'm optimistic. So I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Bill.
Thanks, Bill.
Thanks, Bill.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
All right, just to update you, we've been, Michelle and I, or I should give, Michelle and Rochelle have integrated all of your responses into the profile. It's been sent back to their office. They integrated and updated some things. We're correcting some additional minor pieces, and it'll be back out to the board for final review in the next week or so. We're planning on having a final profile to Prothman by April 15th so that they can do the work necessary to post this position on May 1st. And that then looks like we'd be closing 6 weeks after that and a month to 6 weeks later for interviews at that point.
So you're thinking interviews when, Carolyn?
It looks like probably the end of July, but again, it depends upon how things go. I know summer is a very busy time, and we'll do our best to work around schedules.
We still have the master plan to go through, too.
Correct. We do have more business.
It is, well, getting bigger.
All right. Anything else on the authority manager search project? All right. Moving forward. For the record, Tom joined us at 5:06, and at this point, all directors are present. Item 4A, minutes of the March 2nd, 2021 business meeting. Any corrections or comments? Anne?
Not hearing any questions or comments, so I will move that we approve the minutes of the March 2nd, 2021 business meeting.
I'll second.
It has been moved and seconded that we approve the March 2nd, 2021 business meeting minutes. All in favor, signal by saying aye and raising your hand.
Aye.
Aye.
The minutes are unanimously approved. Thank you. Meeting minutes from the March 11th, 2021 special meeting. Any corrections or comments on those? Cameron?
Yes, that was a meeting I believe I got too late. Where is my note? I joined that meeting at 3:07. I have a tendency to always write down who's at the meetings and a phone number to who that is. And there was a phone number that was there, but that phone number is not on the minutes of the meeting here. And this is a public meeting. All people that are in here, people are to know who it is. Who is attending the meeting? I mean, we have Leonard Whiteman, we have Tim Hirsch, and then there was a phone number. That phone number should be on the minutes.
So there was somebody at the meeting that's not listed in the minutes?
Correct. Mary Roush was there. There was, let me go to my...
Michelle, please go ahead.
That was Larry Roush's number. It was actually his wife's phone number.
All right, shall we add him to the...
No, he is on the minutes.
Oh, he's on there, yeah.
Yeah, he's on there. Okay. He was using his wife's phone number.
So why did it show up twice? Because his name came up and then a phone number also. So it was
because,
like, it was two different.
Because he was probably on the phone and the computer just like you were earlier today. Tom's done it before. You can be online watching and on a phone for communication.
Okay. So what I'd like to propose on this, that in when you do a roll call, that it also be asked who is also attending the meetings, that it will also show up in the minutes of guest presence.
I think we did that since Larry is there on the meeting minutes, so we do that. Rochelle, and then come down to Tom.
Just in past, when we had actual public meetings in the conference room, if we didn't know who the person was, we usually didn't put them on there unless they talked or had a comment. So I don't know that it's a requirement, per se, that I know exactly who everybody is.
It shows up in the Attorney General's Public Records and Meetings Manual.
All right, we'll have staff check that and make sure that we're in compliance, Cameron. Thank you. Tom?
For example, we were just joined by 503-812-6136.
Who is that?
Don't know. It's on our people list, our list of people attending.
We'll leave staff to sort that out. Are there any other corrections to
as a public meeting, everybody has a right to know who's at the meeting. And I did. I called SDAO and talked to George Dunkel. And he said it is a public, it's under the public meeting law, and everybody has the right to know who is at the meeting. You can't sign in on as a phone number. And I explained it to him, I said the phone number, and he says, no, it's a public meeting. So,
can you turn the mic on of our phone number so they can announce their presence?
It looks like it is on.
Hello?
The mic is on, but the video is off.
Right.
That's because it's a phone.
But the mic is on.
503-812-6136 is Ray Browning.
Thank you, Ray.
Hi, Ray.
I think that takes care of that.
Well, I would just like that everybody put, you know, sign in his name, because I write everybody's names down. It's just public meeting, so thank you.
Did you have a question on the meeting minutes of March 11th? Tom, did you have a question or a correction?
No, I did not.
Okay.
I don't know if this would be the time to bring it up now, I'll just bring it up in my director's comments. I'll just wait till then.
All right, thank you.
Okie dokie.
Ann?
Oh, hearing no other discussion about the minutes, I'll move that we approve the March 11th, 2021 special meeting minutes.
I second.
It has been moved and seconded that we approve the March 11th, 2021 special meeting minutes. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Any abstention? Motion passes. Thank you. Item 4C, the March 23rd, 2021 special meeting minutes. Any corrections or comments? Anne?
Hearing none, I'll move that we approve the March 23rd, 2021 special meeting minutes.
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded that we approve the March 23rd, 2021 special meeting minutes. All in favor, say aye.
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 John, was that an aye from you?
Sorry, aye. Yeah, aye.
The directors are unanimous in approval of those meeting minutes. Thank you. Item 5A, accounts payable for March 2nd, March 15th, March 24th, and March 31st. Any questions on the payable? Cameron?
I have my usual ones. I called in and talked to Rochelle, and she's going to kind of address them. The comments on the description is really helpful. If you come by it, I made a recommendation that she put something else in there to add to it. But I do want to comment, that really does help. you know, when you go through the stuff, some things, you know, I kept asking about the BMS, and of course that's a mailing service, and so she's going to add billing or mailing on the description. So yeah, it is helpful.
Tom, you had a couple of questions?
Yes, I do. March 15th, there's a $924 check to Consolidated Supply Company for the AMR project, a node installation tool. What the heck is a node?
What page is that, Tom?
A node is part of the system where we're taking the meter and making it readable to the software, and they have to activate it.
Is it a component on each individual meter?
It is not.
Okay.
We'll be using it, though, for a very long time, every time a new meter goes in.
Oh, it's used to install a meter, is that correct?
Yeah, yes, part of the section of the radio.
Okay, thank you. March 15th, also TMG Services is an LMI kit for sewer. What is an LMI kit?
It's a rebuild kit for a pump.
Oh, it's a pump rebuild. Okay. Yeah. Alrighty. The Pleasant Hill Development Company, we sent, gave them a check for $43,000 and change. Do we owe them anything else?
Yes.
At this point?
Yes. It's negotiable. We have a balance due right now of $5,000.
Okay, thank you. Just a second here.
Michelle, that $5,000, is that just the incidentals, or that was the total?
No, that was a discounted amount because they didn't have the lids in time to install them. They'll be installing them this week.
They don't cut any locks, do they?
I'm sorry?
They don't have to cut any locks, do they? Just a joke.
Okay, March 31st, there was a $14,000 charge to Consolidated Supply Company for the 375 lids for the AMR project. My question is, did we, of those 375, are some of those spares? Should we have a few spares?
We will have. I mean, there were 700 total that we have ordered. So there will be more.
Have we factored in some spares for replacements?
For
new customers?
Yes.
We
have more meters to order. We have more lids to order. So we're not done with the project. We still have over 300 meters out there that haven't been changed up.
Oh, my. Okay. Thank you. Also, on the 31st, there was a charge for the wastewater operator certificate application. Who was that for?
Leonard Whiteman.
I thought he was on the... That was for a certification for the water treatment, not wastewater.
He has certifications in both water and wastewater. And this particular one, he is studying to become a wastewater 3 operator.
Oh, I see. Thank you. And that's it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, Michelle.
Yeah.
After we figure out, we get all our meters in, how many do you foresee that we would have on stock for new sources to be in? 5? I mean.
I would assume we'd have at least 10 in stock for breakage, new meters. No. You want to make the order big enough that you get a good price. And you want a decent amount of stock.
Okay. And it's pretty, it would be readily available if we needed them really quickly.
Yes, but I want to make sure of that.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You bet.
I'll entertain a motion for the payables, Dan.
I'll move that we approve the accounts payable for March 2nd, March 15th, March 24th, and March 31st of 2021.
I second the motion.
It has been moved and seconded that we approve the accounts payable for March 2nd, March 15th, March 24th, and March 31st of 2021. All in favor, say aye.
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 Unanimously approved. Thank you. Item 5B, the fiscal year report. Any questions or comments for the authority manager? Not hearing any, we'll move on. Item 6, the manager's report. Michelle?
So, two things that I really want to note on the manager's report, which I think are extremely important, is one, I put the COVID-19 on the manager's report, and I should have put it on the agenda, left it on the agenda, which I will do in the future. We have, the office is still closed. Staff has met. I submitted to them an updated COVID-19 policy with the rules, thank you, Sean, from the OSHA rules that are in effect right now. We did contact and have contracted with Northwest Engineering Services. They will be down here on the 12th. They're going to do a test for us to provide airflow survey to comply with OSHA. They will be in the building for a few hours testing each of the rooms, finding out, and I think it's important for the future to find out what our airflow is and how many people we can have, because it's been commented that we can't have 10 people in the lunchroom. I don't know how many people we could have in the conference room.
Those two rooms are the same size, aren't they?
No. They're not the same size. No. And then we have the office, and then we have the hallway. So this survey will allow us to make any determination as to how many people we can have in the building currently, if there's anything we can do to help the airflow, and then we'll have that for the record. Vaccines, I have put it on the manager's report that they wouldn't be available until April 19th. That's been changed. They are now available to all staff. There's three of us that are already scheduled for testing, so we are helping any other staff member that wants to be tested, and so that's my report on that. But I think the most important thing on the manager's report is that Rochelle DeLoe was promoted to executive assistant effective April 1st. Really proud to have her on the team as that in that position. If you have any questions,
congratulations to all of us.
Yes. Congratulations, Rochelle.
Yes.
We have had no response from any of the job openings that we have for operator in training or operator one, nor the wastewater treatment three position. I'm wondering if we shouldn't cast a wider net. We did call the Oregonian and we did call the Statesman Journal. I was floored at the cost of them running their ads. The Statesman Journal can run 8 prints, one every other day, so that'd be 2 weeks. It's $856 for that one ad, and they would leave it on their website and other job posting sites for 30 days. The Oregonian, for one Sunday, and 30 days online, it's $995.
And those are two positions?
I would place one position on there right now. That's just one position, one ad.
Now, I missed the part of what two jobs that you're posting for.
Well, we have one job is either an operator and trainer or operator one, whichever. And the other job is wastewater treatment three.
Michelle, moving back toward the your comments about COVID, I did notice reading your manager's report that after going through the new requirements or the posted requirements by OSHA with staff, that you received signed acknowledgments. Thank you for that. I think that was important because we had some cases where, you know, we'd seen employees not following COVID. And so this way we have, you know, a signed acknowledgement that they received and understand the requirements of staff.
So Michelle, out of what eight employees? I mean, is everybody interested in getting the shot, or what? What's the feeling there?
No, I don't believe they are.
They don't want the shot.
I have staff that are not interested.
So how do we go about as far as protecting ourselves if
we? We use the same policy that we have in place right now. We all have to wear masks. We all have to be 6 feet apart until everybody in the staff is vaccinated, which they may not be until COVID is, and we're released from those regulations. We'll do the same thing we are right now.
So are you guys doing like temperature checks every morning when guys come to work? Because it's like, no. If you go into a doctor's office, a temperature check, or the hospital, or other stuff.
No, we're not.
A little disconcerting.
It
isn't legal to ask them to do that.
Not at this point, anyway. There are certainly issues being discussed relative to requirements and mandates and the whole definitions of how those options are reflected in the workplace. And I'm sure that we'll be hearing more about that from OSHA through the Fed and through the Feds with as we get more vaccine supply available.
Until then, we have to respect their.
Yeah.
Position.
Hmm. Well, what, I mean, since we're talking about the COVID, what is, I mean, as far as all of us board members as meeting in a group there again?
You'd have to follow the policy we have set in the building. We'd have to be 6 feet apart. You'd have to wear your mask.
So, if everybody got their shots, would there still be the requirement of the mask, or did that change in any of the state?
I need to check out for a couple minutes. I'll be right back.
Thank you, Sean.
And we are still under the State of Oregon emergency. We're still following the OSHA policy, and until that is lifted, we will follow it.
I mean, has anybody heard as far as now that people are getting the shots, the one shot or the two shot? I've heard that it only lasts for 6 months. I don't know
I don't think anybody knows that for a fact yet.
Right. I mean, this is like uncharted ground. I mean, this is all new stuff. It's, I understand, you know, you can't make people do that, but then the safety of our employees and then the safety of the employees that choose not to, and the ones that do, and the board members that choose to, and the board members that choose not to. It's
an interesting topic for discussion, but it's nothing that we are decision makers about how those rules are put in place. Those are the scientists will be doing that, and we'll be following.
So there's no update as far as if you get your shots, you're A-OK to...
Not at this time, no.
No.
All right.
So, Michelle, you had a question on the table about advertising for the operator training, your level one, and the operator three. Can you describe for us a little bit about where the information has gone out to already so we can think about what our options might be?
Yeah, it's, Michelle, you're going to have to help me with the organization. It's at OAWU, right? Is that right?
Yes. It's at SDAO. It's on...
SDAO. It's in the Oregon WorkSource.
Yep. And then Operator and Training. Teaches. Operator and Training is also in the Headlight Herald.
Wow.
I've also contacted Clackamas Community College. I've contacted the Benton Community College. The Water Sewer Programs. I've also contacted Nebraska High School and talked to their principal about graduating seniors. And he's very interested in this training program for an operator in training. I explained to him that they had to be 18, have to have graduated, but he is very interested in checking it out and seeing if there isn't somebody interested.
And Tillamook Community College?
They don't have a program, but I could certainly call them. They're more academic than technical.
Ann?
Has it ever been part of our process, Michelle, to place similar ads in the state of Washington, like with the equivalent of the Oregon workforce or WorkSource, the State Employment Division? Any professional organizations in Washington?
Well, I think it's because of reciprocity that it's never been done, that we're looking for a lower level. I can see it for wastewater treatment 3, but I can't see it for operator in training or operator level 1. I could steal somebody, from their home and say, are you 18 and a graduate? Bring them down from Washington somewhere.
No, but as you said, for the wastewater 3 position, those are people that have been in the industry for a while, and I don't know about the reciprocity things, but you will, or you will find out. But it might be another source to at least consider and look into.
Thank you. I did contact DEQ. They will give me operators and their level, but they cannot get their addresses. Oregon Water, I can get their addresses. So I'm trying to be sneaky, and I haven't figured it out yet. I'm trying to figure out what town they work in and go behind the, send them a poster. We have to get really creative.
Well, having a certification and going out there and buying the mailing list for that group that has the certifications.
Well, I don't think DEQ is going to let me buy it.
No. Well, does that go through the Oregon Health? Anything is the Oregon Health?
No, that's water.
So, Michelle, would you recommend that we place ads in the Oregonian or the Salem paper?
I'd like to place it in Salem, the Statesman Journal. I'd hold off on the Oregonian. I just think that for one Sunday and 30 days, and Salem's closer, more rural. I'd like to place it there for one time. And I wouldn't mind posting both of them, but...
Are the advertisements or the job description, not the job description, but is the posting up at the post office for people that don't live here but come out here often and might see it?
No, it's not. It will be.
Okay. And I don't know, I know that the Pelican has employee post boards that they post things on, and when I've been in a position to pass on furniture and so forth, I've always called and put something up on them, and immediately I get phone calls. So I don't know if you know, if they would know if somebody, it's kind of like, how do we get into the grapevine of the people that are interested in these two jobs?
Yeah. Okay.
So does the board support Michelle's request to move forward with an ad in the Statesman and other options that we might have suggested? Tom?
I think it sounds like a reasonable move. Unlike you, I have some reservations maybe about the Oregonian, but the, I appreciate your logic on the Statesman Journal.
Tom?
I like your idea about contacting the local high school, because I had an acquaintance son who was interested in it, and I mentioned it to our previous authority manager, and he said he was more interested in not hiring someone at the time, but I assumed that, that you'd have to at least have a high school education.
That's
so
correct.
I think there's some interest out there already for a local young man or young woman.
Well, the principal said he would talk to the people he thought would be most apt to be interested in the position, and I'm emailing him the actual job description.
Good idea.
There is the one that we, in Portland, don't they do jobs also in there?
It's not really our style, I don't think. More of an artsy neighborhood. It's been a long time since I've seen the Willamette Week, but I don't believe that's advertising for jobs. But I'll look at it. I'll look at anything right now.
John?
I apologize if I missed this. I would just say that I think it's going to cost a lot more money right now to hire people. So as painful as those expenses are, yeah, I think it's just going to be what we're going to have to do. And I have one other thought. I don't know how valid this is, but the Capital Press out of Salem, which is kind of like a farm and industrial type thing. I always enjoyed reading that when we had our farm. I don't know if that'd be a good idea or not. So.
No, I think it is. Thanks, Sean. I forgot all about it.
You're welcome.
It's a fascinating little paper.
It is. It really is, yeah.
Don't they have any, like, trade schools or anything like that?
I call Clackamas Community and Lynn Benton both.
And those are the two trade schools?
All right. Any thoughts on the manager's report, Michelle?
No.
All right, thank you. Item 7, unfinished business. First is our HR assessment. I've talked with Ryan, traded emails back and forth, and he is available to us the last part of the last week in April. His investigations he's currently working on have been extended, but he could commit to that, and he could commit to working with staff during the month of May if we chose to go forward with that. And he found out that I think that the state is changing things, but he did find out that as an investigator that he was eligible for vaccines and is scheduled for his first this week. So that would make him fully vaccinated before coming out in May. And he would need to be at that level because of living in a multi-generational household. So that would work out for us if we chose to go forward. So Does the board want me to move forward with setting up a meeting toward the end of April and getting that project started?
Yes.
Yes.
All right, that will do. Thank you.
Hey, I got a question. So this would be us meeting with Ryan to have a discussion about the HR assessment and coming up with a plan to move forward. Is that correct?
Yes, to clarify exactly what direction we wanted him to go, what we thought he needed to ask, for him to give us advice on what can and can't be asked, and the value of what we want out of it, and then the potential problems of some of the questions that we might have.
So we had had a discussion at the last meeting, or I don't know if it was the last meeting or two meetings ago, about getting some advice from legal counsel on whether or not the board could do sort of HR investigation and that sort of thing. Did we ever get anything back on that?
I talked with Ryan on that, and he said that having the board talk with staff with regards to the project as we're looking at it is a big no-no in the industry, and you'd be opening yourselves up for liability. I did not go to Schwabe with that question. I suppose we could call Katie and get her advice on that, if the board would still like to pursue that angle.
Yes.
I would like to get that advice, and not to denigrate Ryan Fleming at all, but, you know, I just feel like we shouldn't limit ourselves on this. I have not surrendered the idea of having a one or two board members be a part of that process. And so I feel like for me to surrender that notion, I would have to be persuaded, and legal counsel would maybe do that.
Okay. What would you think about having the meeting with Ryan first to get the data of exactly what it would look like so that we had something concrete to present to legal with regards to what the framework of an issue was going to be? I think at this point that it would be awfully hard to get good legal counsel on something that was a concept for which we don't have enough parameters filled out on, and just I think that wouldn't give us what we want, and we would need to go back to legal counsel again.
Well, I'm not at all surprised that Ryan Fleming has taken the position that having board involvement is a big no-no. And that's not surprising to me, and that may very well be the case. I'd like to hear from our legal counsel what their thought process is. You know, I feel like we really need to make sure that we're doing this investigation properly. And, you know, I think I came up with that idea of an HR assessment in part because I didn't know what else to call it. But I'd really like to get some clarification from counsel on what the board's boundaries are, whether or not we can be involved, you know, what that looks like from a liability standpoint if we choose to be involved, et cetera, et cetera.
I don't have any problem with giving legal counsel a call, but it's hard to ask them what our boundaries should be, given that we haven't exactly figured out what we want to do. Are you okay with waiting until we meet with Ryan to get that? Because legal counsel should be able to give that to us in a day or two.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I can understand where Ryan's coming from. I'm not, like I said, I'm not surprised that that's his position. And you know, he's an HR consultant, and we want his HR feedback. But, you know, I feel like this board needs the flexibility to be able to do what we think is right, and I'd really like some clarification from counsel on that.
Anne?
One of the things, Sean, in relation to what you're talking about here, and I can argue either side of this question, I guess, but one of the things that strikes me might be a benefit to hearing Ryan out is to get an idea of what kinds of conversations there might be. And then there's the question of, would it be appropriate then to go to legal and say, okay, seeking this kind of information, what legal aspects are there for the board to be directly involved in that or not? So I'm kind of, you know, I guess it costs money to go to the lawyers. I guess in one respect, it doesn't hurt. It wouldn't probably be a very long conversation. But I can envision the attorney coming back and saying, well, exactly what is it you want to do? And right at this moment, we don't have a clear answer to that question. So I think it just gets complicated really fast.
Yeah, I hear you, and I get it, and I agree with you. I can see and could probably make both sides of that argument as well, and I appreciate that. My position, I think, is that I'm not entirely sure, like we have said, what it is we're looking for. But, you know, Carolyn just stated that Ryan Fleming said that board involvement is a big no-no. And so, in my mind, I think what we need to do is we need to hear the other side of it. I mean, why is that a big no-no? If that's a big no-no, then the board needs the flexibility to say, okay, maybe Ryan Fleming isn't the right way to go about this. I mean, I'm very excited to talk to Ryan. I think he's going to give us some really good advice. But I don't want the board's position to be, we've already chosen Ryan Fleming, we're going to do whatever he says. I think that we need to have a wide net, and I think that we need to understand what it is that the board can or cannot do, and I'm not sure that Ryan Fleming is an unbiased way to get that advice.
Oh, absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more, Sean. I think that Anne's point is very well taken, that we're not exactly clear about what kinds of conversations or how that could be structured. And it's our meeting with Ryan would be to help us as a group understand what we're looking for, and get his perspective on it and his suggestion on it. And at that point, if we're looking at that and saying, wait a minute, we'd like board involvement in this piece, and this piece, and he's saying no, he wouldn't recommend it, that's when I hear you say, let's get the legal check-in on that and make sure that we aren't excluded from something because of a potential bias from a consultant that isn't exactly what we want.
Yeah, I hear you. I understand what you're saying. I feel my personal opinion is I'd like to hear from counsel, but certainly I'm only one of five members on the board, so if I'm the odd man out, I can wait. So.
No, I agree with you, Sean. I think I'd like to find out what the legality is. It's a really catch-22 where we're at. I always thought we needed to have an investigation policy to be able to do investigating, and now our hands are tied in anything that we do. You know, hot water this way or hot water that way, or I think there needs to be an open communication somehow between the board and the employees. I feel like, you know, we failed our last manager, that things weren't open enough. I don't know.
I think Cameron, what I hear you saying is that we're looking at this, what we're calling an HR assessment, because we're wanting to discover whether there is any current concerns with regards to how business is done, any concerns, maybe past historical concerns that might still be there, or if the reason that there were issues was related to the person that was in the position. And we've got lots of ideas and some people have had conversations either directly or indirectly, but we don't have any evidence at this point. And it's how do we get that evidence and what are we going to do with it when we get it?
Right.
And it's really easy, I think, just to jump over and want to, you know, get everybody at the table and talk about it and hammer it out. But that's not...
things have changed.
Deliberate in our process and do our due diligence.
Right. I believe that we need to... there could be a potential problem, and I'm sure everybody wants to come up with a solution, and everybody picking their brain to figure out what we could do. I'd like to hear what legal counsel has to say. I think it'd be really worth it to find out.
And it may be that we can schedule a workshop at the end of April with Brian. That gives us time that during the May meeting, we could talk with, let's see, is this an issue that we can talk about in executive session? I don't know if it is or not. I'll have to check into that. But at that point, we could get advice from legal counsel at or before that May meeting. So by the May meeting, we could make a decision about it so that the work could be done in May and figure that out. We're only 4 weeks into this in terms of the change that has happened. And I think we're moving forward at a good rate. But that's, again, my opinion. So it sounds like we're still up in the air about the legal thing. Sean, maybe you and I can have a conversation so I can get more clarity about your question. And then we can figure out how to get that information. But it sounds like the board does want to meet with Ryan at the end of April and to move forward on a potential project. And we'll figure out what that looks like as a group and go down that road.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Thank you. Item 7B, Springbrook. Michelle?
Testing will end on April 21st. We will be offline the 22nd and 23rd, meaning that Springbrook will be taking all of our data and transferring it to the upgrade. They'll bring it back to us on Monday the 26th when we go live. So we're on schedule. We've tested as much as we could test so far. We have another meeting tomorrow, but that's where we're at. We're almost there.
So there won't be any loss of data or a re-entry type of program?
Actually, that's not exactly true. There won't be any loss of data. However, we're only going to bring so many years forward to the new system. I'm not going to keep 20 years of data.
So
we're going to the old system.
What is the legal part of how far we can go back with that?
We're keeping 5 years of data on the computer. However, we have 20, no, that's not true. We have, almost 20 years of data on paper in storage. So I'm not concerned.
Have there been any hiccups in the process up to this point?
No.
Lovely to hear.
No, it's smooth.
Thank you. Item 7C, the AMR project.
The company will be down here Thursday and Friday installing the lids. If there's any that they need to finish after that, they will come down the following week. But he thinks he can do it in 2 days.
Tom?
I have a question about the new meters. I was reading the master plan on water, and in Chapter 3 there were some assumptions made on and some facts relating to our water sources that are metered and the data that we charge our individual customers. And that it was appeared to be about a 24 to 30% discrepancy from the amount of water coming out of our water sources and what we charge. And what they had come up with is that our meters were underreporting the actual use. So since we have new meters, I would think that they're probably more accurate than the old meter. And that brings me to a question for Michelle. The previous authority manager provided us with graphs that showed some of this discrepancy and would also be a seasonal data and that sort of thing. And I was wondering if you would be able to take what he had started and also provide those same graphs, because here's going to be our first month or so of new data coming from the new meters. And I wanted to see if that showed, and we had some comparisons there.
Well, the first month is probably not going to be very accurate because of all the water losses that we had from the installation of the meters and how much water went on the ground, which was considerable. The meters that we are installing are much more accurate. The reports that Kirk was providing you, I have tried to locate them on his computer and the server. I have a similar report that I used to submit every single month to the previous authority manager, which is very close, showing the water losses per month. I will continue to try and locate Kirk's graphs, but I know where the hard data is in the office. So yeah, I will pick that back up. But the first couple of months might be a little skewed, but we will get those losses. But losses are also not only from meters, but we bill out and what goes through the system. There's also flushing lines. There's also leaks that happen.
Those meters bill.
So if we have a serious leak one month, we're going to have maybe a 24% difference. But we can explain those.
Well, that's kind of the data I was kind of looking for. Your hard data, is that in a spreadsheet form like Excel or?
Yeah, I do. It hasn't been updated since Kirk came to work, as he made his own format. But I have an old one that we can either recoup and restart if I can't find Kirk's graphs.
Well, the reason I mentioned Excel was it's pretty easy to make graphs out of Excel spreadsheets.
Yeah, and I do that.
And those were darn helpful.
Okay.
I liked them. And it was interesting because I had asked her that grants, because they look at the water loss. I think when we apply for some grants and stuff, that they look at that.
Not to my knowledge, but it could be. I'm not aware of that.
You make a good point about the first couple of months, but it would be really nice to see moving into spring, further into springtime, how those numbers are affected.
I'll get on it.
John? Yeah, and also kind of to tie into that, it'd be interesting to see. I was trying to find it in the water master plan, but of course it's going to take me a little bit to get into that. But I think that was one of the things that the master plan brought up, was that there was a discrepancy between what was coming out of the wells and what was being billed. And one of the things they concluded was that it was crappy meters. So it'd be interesting to see if that tightens up at all, and see if these new meters are closer to what the data that's coming out of the production side versus what's, actually going into people's houses.
Yeah,
That was in chapter 3, John.
Thanks, Tom.
Anything else on AMRs? All right, moving on, item 7D, Horn Creek Internet.
Well, here's my hiccup for the week. CenturyLink did not come out last week as promised, and I did not get a call back from them as promised. So I called again on Monday. I talked to him yesterday. He had been on vacation. He did tell me that CenturyLink had been out in the area. The techs had been there. They had told us we could get 6 meg, and now they're telling us that we can only get 3, which is not going to be sufficient. So I could try the 3, but they say they cannot offer us anything because of the Old Woods Road area, which... Do I believe them 100%? No. No, because other people in Cloverdale are getting 10. So I'm considering going back to Coastcom and bringing in the fiber optics.
We were gonna eventually have to do that anyway, weren't we?
Yeah, a couple of years down the road we were. And yes.
If memory serves, that's going to be kind of expensive. What kind of contingency do we have in our budget for that kind of an expense?
Well, we're writing a new budget right now. So it'll be in next year's budget because it'll be that long, maybe a month or two before it's installed. It's going to be $400 a month. Compared to $99 a month.
Well, that's fine. That's not the expense I'm worried about. I'm worried about the laying fiber optic out to the...
There won't be any cost. They're not going to charge us. We already have conduit in the ground. All they have to do is roll the line through it.
Good.
Good, Sean.
Michelle, have they given you like any kind of commitment to bandwidth or that kind of thing with the fiber optic line? Is it unlimited? Is it?
It's 50.
It's 50.
Right, yeah, 50 megabytes compared to the 1.5 we're having right now.
Can you get more than 50, or is that just their standard service?
Not sure. I didn't ask. I just knew that 50 was so big that I was tickled.
Yeah.
6 to 50.
I think we just go for it and do it and pay the $400 and get the service. And I mean, that's my opinion. I know it's more expensive, but I mean, instead of just noodling around with this thing, and I'm not at all surprised that the CenturyLink salesman told you you could get more than the technicians think you can get. So, I mean, let's just do it.
Ann?
I agree completely. This broadband is the wave, wave of the future. And if we don't do it now, we're going to do it in a year or two. And we have the opportunity. We've got the motivation behind the low speeds, and we've got a very expensive facility that we need to assure the community is operating and supervised electronically at a level that is commensurate with the value of the facility. So I am in total agreement with Sean. I think we should just go ahead and skip CenturyLink. We've already given them plenty of opportunities to rectify the problem, and they're dragging their feet, and they're not that interested in us. They're more interested in 5G in Portland. So I think we should go ahead with it.
Tom?
Carolyn, is this an operational decision that Michelle can make, or does the board need to make a motion?
The board does not need to make a motion. I don't believe Michelle.
No.
Yeah. It's an operational. It's an operational decision for which she's looking for board support, and I think she's got 100% support. So please go forward, Michelle.
Thank you.
Yeah. I just think let's just bite the bullet. We're going to have to do it eventually anyway. And to have floppy seconds, I just don't think so.
All right, item 7E, staff hiring.
Which we've already discussed, so we can, I think we can pass on that one. Yes.
Tom?
I sent out an email as far as staff hiring, and it was a suggestion for the board that because of the lack of timely advice that we need, granted, it was an unusual situation losing our authority manager, but at least the board should consider that possibly an office, a dual job of an office assistant and an HR generalist might be something that would allow more. And this might be a question we could ask Ryan as well as legal counsel. Would this be an avenue to allow better communications between the board and operational staff? As I've mentioned before, HR is kind of that concept. We're a small organization, and I hate to see us kind of move too much in this direction, but we need timely advice on a regular basis. They would take up some of the duties of this of the executive assistant as well as the authority manager, and would kind of balance out our office a little better, my thinking. But I think it's time the board should probably consider that. Maybe combining both an office assistant and a HR generalist into one job. It wouldn't be a full-time HR generalist, but it would be more of a office assistant job. But having that credential would be able to give the board and management and personnel, because they act as a HR acts as an advocate for staff to complain about whatever needs to be complained about. So it's just something to consider.
Michelle?
Tom, I appreciate the hard work you did on this, but I also have a couple of comments about this. This HR generalist duties and responsibilities that you sent over is a very interesting job, but we have a staff, if we were a full staff of 10, this person would still report to the authority manager, who then reports to the board. I will not have, I believe, the respect of the staff if I hire an HR person who's going to come in and take appropriate disciplinary action of any staff member. First of all, we have a chain of command at the company that we all thoroughly understand, in that the operations people go to Leonard, who supervises and runs operations. Leonard has an issue with anything, him and that individual or him come to me, and I speak to them and work it out. As far as internal staff go with Leonard or Ray or Rochelle, that's on me. And it's also my job to report to you in probably an executive session if there are any issues. Now, I understand the board wants to know exactly what happened, and I know you want to do an investigation. And I know there's probably a couple of staff members that will talk to one or two of you. But I think you would probably get the consensus that right now and before, the staff below the authority manager operated just fine and did their jobs just as they should all along. I don't find that the duties of this HR person in such a small company are valid. I actually need somebody to come in and do some administrative work, but more and some accounting work. But if I hire an HR person, that splits and divides the staff we have now. And I appreciate your work. I just don't feel that this is the time or the size or the right company for it.
Don?
I hear what you're saying, Michelle, and in terms of incorporating an HR portion into the role, I can certainly understand that. I want to point out, and I hear your passion, I do, that part of the problem is that the chain of command broke down the last time. So I appreciate that you absolutely feel that the chain of command is working great now, but it didn't work before. So the system that we have in place somehow broke down. And that's why I am so adamant about having this investigation, is because there is a breakdown. I think a lot of that breakdown has to do with the policies that the board set. So please understand that I point the finger at myself first, because I think the board shares a huge portion of the responsibility for this breakdown. So I hear what you're saying, but you also almost kind of proved my point. I mean, there was a breakdown, and we need to understand what that breakdown was.
Okay. And I agree with you wholeheartedly that you needed to know that. What hasn't been put before the board was that there was a meeting scheduled with staff to go to the board chair as an exit interview to provide that resolution, or to tell the board that there was a break, and it just didn't happen because the board figured it out and it came to their conclusion before the meeting happened. So
hang on. So you said there was, as part of an exit. Can you restate that? Sorry.
Yes.
As an exit, something.
Yes. Yes. When I decided to retire, I called the board and asked for an exit interview.
I wasn't made aware of that. Oh.
I hear you, and I'm glad. I'm glad to hear that. That makes me very happy. This is the first time that I've heard that.
I know.
So I get that. And I think you just brought up exactly my point. And my point is that the policies that this board have set, I mean, it didn't work. Somehow there was a disconnect. And I very much, you just really helped me a lot by saying that, and I very much appreciate that. And my concern is that somehow it got to that level without the board knowing. And that, in my opinion, is a breakdown. I mean, having four staff members ready to leave, that option to me was way too far down the path before the board heard about it.
Well, that's because it happened in such a short period of time of an incident that happened. So it wasn't like, I mean, yes, it took a year before the end, but there were a few incidents that happened at this time period. And this is not the first time I have gone to a board member. I went to Doug Kello in the past. So it does happen.
Right, and that's exactly as it should be. But somehow there is, I mean, I just, that's why we need to know. Because, like, here we are, right? We're a month into this process, and this is the first time that I'm hearing about this. So I support you. I think there's no doubt in my mind that our staff works together wonderfully. And I get that, and I've been getting that a lot. My concern is, A, somehow this board didn't get it, and I appreciate that happened very fast. But if we're going to go through this whole process of hiring an authority manager again, I want to make sure that this never happens again.
That's changing the policy, not by hiring an HR person.
I get that. But all of these options need to be on the table so that we can work through it and understand what the best thing is. And I hear what you're saying.
I get that, too.
And not make it the same mistake again.
And I think this entire conversation is good for the board in particular to be having, and Michelle's input is obviously demonstrating the reason why she was the perfect candidate for the interim authority. And I do think, though, too, that these are the things, these are the very issues that we're going to talk to Ryan Fleming about. And this is the very reason why we're entering into that consulting relationship with him, to figure these things out. I personally am listening and making notes, and when we have that workshop with Ryan, I trust that we'll all be there with our notes and questions to hash this out with him. John?
Yeah, hey, Michelle, can I ask a follow-up question? And I believe me, I hear what you're saying. Would it be helpful at all, do you think, to have, and I don't know if Ryan Fleming is the right person, but he can certainly advise us. I mean, would it be helpful to have a, you know, as an alternative to what Tom is proposing, sort of a standing, I don't know what you want to call it, retainer with an HR firm that could be on standby to help us with some of these things, that we could have some HR advice when we need it, that doesn't, you know, involve a part-time job responsibility to a full-time person?
I think that's excellent. I think it's just like having an attorney. I think we are so small that we can't be an expert in everything. And
right.
HR is its own field. And I studied HR, but that was at Portland State in the 1980s. And nothing is the same. So,
I kind of want you to bring that back. I think we've actually gone sideways on HR, so you might actually be the perfect person to get advice on HR.
I have some opinions, that's for sure.
I think that, Cameron, I'll come to you in just a second. I think that's all well stated. And Tom, thanks for putting that email together and out so that we're out here and kind of looking at these issues. But it's seems to be rising to the surface that we've done a very good job of finding good legal counsel, good engineering, good IT help, and so forth. But we haven't delved into the HR side of things in terms of having a chart or a pathway to where you go for these questions if those aren't these answers, or where can we get that support. And we're headed down that road. So I think this is a good discussion, as Ann said. Cameron, do you want to add in there?
Well, I think there's a problem. There's a problem, or there was a problem, but we need to sort it out. I hate making a mistake again. And it's like this has been brought up. So let's fix it. Let's learn from it. Let's move on. I like the idea of an HR person. And, you know, it is a small area. It is a small community. And it is a small, but we need to take care of issues. I mean, here's the adage, you know, how do you know if something's broken unless somebody tells you how to fix it? You know, okay, we got a water leak. Let's fix it. Let's fix it. Let's do something. Something. So I'm sure with everybody together, we could all come together and find something for a solution for an HR. I mean, we have to go into these little pockets of area. Granted, we'd like to have a manager. We'd like to have an office assistant. We'd like our manager's assistant. We'd like to have this, but we can't because it is a small. The workers will always do their job. They'll take pride in their job because this is their community. This is where they're passionate about it. But I would have liked to have known, and I feel like, Sean, I feel like we let the manager down. I feel we failed as a board. And I really don't take that lightly. It's upsetting to me that this happened. It really is. And I do want to fix it. I would like to have an investigation. Let's figure it out so we don't make the same mistake again.
John?
I'll just kind of finalize with this. This is something I'm going to be talking about when we meet with Ryan Fleming, but I've been going back and reviewing all my, you know, HR files and things I've accumulated over the years, I think this really kind of wraps it up for me. You know, Google spent 10 years trying to figure out what makes for a good manager. It's something that they call Project Oxygen. And the end result of that was people leave managers, not companies. And so, you know, that to me really hits home. And I want to make sure that we understand exactly where we came from, what happened, and where we're going. Because as we're going to hire a new authority manager, that's foremost on my mind. People leave managers, not companies, and I want to make sure the next person doesn't leave.
Yes.
Thank you. All right, moving on. Item 8, new business. 8A, 100K Reservoir Fence. Michelle?
Thank you. The 100K Reservoir has a cyclone fence around it. As many of you have probably driven by it, it has the gate where we can go in and do the work. I want you to know that fence was put in 1972 by the Sears Roebuck Company when the reservoir was built.
That was the first reservoir, correct?
100K.
The first one.
Yes. It's falling apart, it's rusted. It's no longer stable. The ground is sloughed off on the back. I don't know if everybody knows this, but there's a really steep ravine behind that reservoir. So the fence is sliding down the hill. We called four fencing companies, and we got three quotes to replace that fence with a 12-foot gate. We're going to actually make the fence a little bit smaller and bring it in a few feet to the back and a couple feet on the north side, not to encumber the neighbor's property. The cost that we received, one of the first that gave us a quote never even came down here from Salem, and that was $21,000. Zoker, who's done most of our fencing over the years, gave us a quote of $14,458, and we have another company out of Salem called Outdoor Fence, and we have a quote of $12,900, and if we wanted to increase the gauge, he would increase the cost by $1,600. This is a fence that isn't even connected in the back. The deer have destroyed it on the north side. It needs to be replaced, and it has been for many, many years. So we'd like to have the board's permission with a motion to replace that 100K fence.
John?
Do we need a motion on this? I thought it was $25,000 for a...
I couldn't find that, Sean. I didn't know.
Okay, no, that's okay. My feeling is this is one of those things that I trust you to make the decision. So if you want a motion, I'm happy to make a motion. I'm fine with you just making the decision on who you think is the best to install.
We're going to go with Outdoor Fence in Salem.
Great. Would it be better for you if I make a motion? I'm happy to do it.
It's up to the board. Yes.
please, because I think the paperwork still shows the 5K limit, and until we find the paperwork that changed it to 25K, I think we need a motion on the books.
I can't find it.
Well, I would like to make a motion to authorize the authority manager to have fencing installed at the 100,000K reservoir from, remind me the name of the company again.
Outdoor Fence Company.
Outdoor Fence Company of Salem for, what was it, $14,000?
No, $12,900.
$12,900.
Increase the price by $1,000 or so, just in case there's a couple of hiccups going through it. So I would suggest we make the motion for up to 15K.
Okay.
So revised.
Second.
Cameron, second. Tom, you have a question?
Michelle, didn't you say that if we increased the gauge of the fencing, it was an additional $1,500 or $1,600?
That's correct. But we're already increasing it by 2 gauge from what it was.
Well, I like the idea of a heavier gauge. It's just more security, and it's the cost was a one-time thing. I'd like to see motion to incorporate the heavier gauge fencing.
No, it would still come in within the $15,000 range.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
It has been moved. Any other questions? It has been moved and seconded that the authority manager move forward with the contract for the 100K new fence with outdoor fencing from out of Salem for an amount up to $15,000. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Michelle. Appreciate the homework on that.
Sure.
Item 8B, Horn Creek server replacement.
So, Horn Creek was finished in June of 2011. The computer equipment was brought in around that time. That's been 10 years. The server is 10 years old, which is probably about 2 to 3 years past its life. We only use it for SCADA, so we've been monitoring it closely. We didn't want to replace it too soon. The original server in 2011 was $10,800. I have a current bid for a new server at $10,005. We would like to get that replaced. And I think if we coincide that with the bringing the COSTCOM in at the same time, we'd have a really good, smooth project.
Sounds like match made in heaven.
John?
Michelle, is it the same company on the server or completely different?
No, it's the same company. It's EP Global building it for us.
I think if you got 10 years out of a server, I think you got 5 more years than you normally should. So I'm all for it.
Thank you.
You want a motion?
Please. Could you make it for $13,000? Give me some wiggle room on rewiring.
I would like to make a motion to authorize the authority manager to put in a new server at the Horn Creek facility not to exceed $13,000.
Any other discussion or questions? It has been moved and seconded that we authorize the authority manager to put in a new server at Horn Creek for up to $13,000. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Motion approved unanimously. Thank you. Item 8C, housekeeping. Michelle?
Yeah, thank you. We have some housekeeping that we need to do in the office. Oregon Coast Bank needs a signature approval that I can sign checks. We'd like to give Rochelle online access only to Oregon Coast Bank, which is what I've had in the past. She also needs LGIP access to log in and transfer funds to be put on the Verizon account. And we need Kirk's name off the credit card. and they won't talk to us unless, obviously, all of these people require minutes from the board on this and motions. And we also need to change the registered agent. Just going to add that right in there.
Tom?
Michelle, what does LGIP stand for?
That's our Oregon investment pool, where all of the members, SDAO, it's a money pool in the state of Oregon where all of our investments are.
Thank you.
Is that short-term funds, or is that like employee retirement? What?
No, it's just cash that we have. So we keep about $400,000 in the Oregon Coast Bank. Everything that we have in excess of that, we transfer, and it's in each individual fund has their own account, and we earn interest from the state of Oregon, and it is short term. We can transfer it anytime back to the bank account.
Thank you.
And
LGIP, literally, I don't think you quite said this, Michelle, but LGIP stands for Local Government Investment.
Yes.
So this is for our types of governmental entities.
Correct. You're right, I didn't say it correctly.
So this would be a long motion you're asking for, right? Any chance you can sort of say it, and then I can just repeat it?
Yeah, why don't I do it? Yes, I can.
Or can you just say it, and then we'll pretend it was my voice?
And you can say so moved.
Great.
Does it need to be broken up into individual companies, Michelle?
I would like each motion to be a separate company, so let's do it that way.
I think that might be clearer for
Sean,
those that need the approval.
Sean Carlton moves that Michelle Hughes has authorization to sign on the Oregon Coast Bank checking account, and Michelle has online access.
So moved.
Second.
It has been moved and seconded that our authority manager, Michelle Hughes, has the ability to sign on the Oregon Coast Bank account, and also that our executive assistant, Rochelle DeLoe, has permission to online access. All in favor of said motion?
Aye.
Unanimously, that motion passes. Thank you.
I, Sean Carlton, moved that Michelle DeLoe have access to the local government investment pool account for JWSA.
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that Michelle DeLoe have access to local government investment pool account. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Next.
I, Sean Carlton, authorized Rochelle DeLoe to be added to the Verizon account as a manager to make changes.
So moved.
Second.
It has been moved that Rochelle DeLoe is added to the Verizon account as a manager in order to make changes that the board authorizes such. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Motion approved unanimously.
He's grinning from ear to ear. Look at that. It's just fun
to make fun. They all do. I'm Sean Carlton. authorized to have Kurt Medina's name removed from the credit card and Michelle Hughes replaced on that. Credit cards? I can't even talk now.
Don't move.
Okay. Michelle, you will redo this, right?
It has been moved and seconded that Kurt Medina's name be removed from the, that it is authorized that Kurt Medina's name be removed from the credit card and Michelle Hughes' name be added to her credit card. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. One more.
I, Sean Carlton, move that Michelle Hughes replace Kirk Medina as a registered agent for PPJWSA.
So moved.
Second.
It has been moved and seconded that Michelle Hughes replace Kirk Medina as authorized agent of PCJWSA. All in favor? Say aye.
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 Thank you, Sean.
Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Sean and Michelle.
Anyway. Michelle, no matter how much you might disagree with me over some things, whatever you do, do not tell my wife what just happened.
I promise.
Okay, item 9. Michelle, did you receive, or Rochelle, any guest questions and comments for this meeting? Thank you very much. Item 10, director comments. Cameron, you had one you wanted to bring up?
No, I've got several, so if somebody wants to go ahead of me, please do so.
No?
Go ahead.
Well, once again, I want to bring up investigational policy that maybe we can tie this in with Ryan Fleming coming in. I brought it up before, and I think it's important. Also, who is our safety officer?
Jeb Pippinger?
Yes. Well, because I noticed on your report from your manager report, somebody got bit.
Yes.
So was that a lost time accident?
No.
Okay. He just went to the doctor to get...
Yes.
Rabies shot? Rabies shot?
No, he didn't need a rabies shot.
Okay.
In fact, we had a safety meeting regarding that today.
Okay. Awesome. I mean, most people, you know, dogs are friendly, but, you know. I think we should also, I don't know, I looked in somewhere about a policy or something. I don't know if it's in there. Employees starting rumor and stirring up trouble, and that the PCWJ will not tolerate any, I know there's a word out there for it, for incite a riot. I wouldn't say incite riot, but that sort of thing. Is there something in our policy for that?
In our employee handbook about harassing people or?
No. I mean, getting gossip going, starting rumors going, just getting dissension things going within.
If you have an issue, I'd like to hear about it privately.
I think that we should have something in there.
Leonard Whiteman and I are rewriting the employee handbook as we speak. We've received all of the new bully laws, Bureau of Labor and Industries.
Correct.
And we are confirming that all of our statutes and all of our items in our handbook are up to date.
I would like to see something in there about that. It's important. It's just.
I don't know if I can write up something about gossip.
Not gossip. It's just inciting distension, how people get together and. I know there's a word of it. I've been struggling with it. But I think there should be something in there. Everybody gets together and somebody doesn't like something and you pass it on to somebody else and somebody will stir it up and then stand back and it's detrimental for the workforce anywhere.
Well, okay.
I would like to see something in there. Meeting agendas. I'd like to see that possibility that Carolyn contact. I think Carolyn and the interim manager do the scheduling for our meetings. Is that true?
For our board meetings?
Correct.
Our board meetings are set on the first Tuesday of the month.
No, what is in the agenda?
Yeah.
Agenda is, the way the agenda works is that usually the authority manager presents a draft to the chair, and the chair makes additions or changes and sends it back, and that's what's sent out. Any board member can contact the chair prior to, maybe more than a week prior to the meeting for items that they'd like to have on the agenda.
Okay.
And then the chair will make that decision and we move forward, and that's outlaid in the I think the SDAO documents.
Okay. I'd just like to have the opportunity more of having things on the agenda that, you know, maybe reaching out to, I don't know if you have time to talk to each one of us prior to, but if anybody, instead of throwing things out there in the middle of a meeting of an agenda item. So.
Send me an email or give me a call, Cameron.
Okay. I'd like to see our packets out on Thursday for board meetings. I think Friday, it's not enough time to go through everything.
Can I ask you a question about that?
Sure.
When Kirk Medina changed the billing from the 25th to the 31st, that created a huge problem for us. We have to have the billing completed before we can do the reports to send you the board package. So it's a timing issue of the billing and the last payroll and the last AP run.
So then let's change the policy that it's written up.
Do you want to change the billing back to the 25th?
I don't know. I would like more time to be able to go through things. It's just not enough. I don't do it on the weekends because weekends, I believe it should be for family. I really do.
Cameron, why don't we do this? Why don't we have Michelle take a look at the system and propose what might be necessary to move the packets up by another day?
Okay.
Would that work?
Sure.
And let's give her a month or so to get, I mean, she's very new to this
position. I know. I understand. I understand. But I brought this up several times.
You got another comment?
Oh, sure do. Just trying to figure out my notes.
Before you move, it would help me to have another extra day or two just because of how crazy my schedule is. I don't want to wade into the billing cycle. That's your purview, and if you feel like changing it, change it. But it would be nice to have an extra day to review that stuff.
Okay.
Tom, you
put
your hand up. Was it about the same issue?
No.
Okay. Then let's Cameron.
Go ahead, Tom. No,
go ahead,
Tom.
Cameron, you mentioned earlier about the employee handbook. I went through all my stuff, and I'll be doggone if I can find it, if it was ever given to me. Michelle, could you mail me a copy of the employee handbook?
The current one, or when we get one updated?
Well, send the current one now, then go ahead and update it. I just can't find what our basic policies are anywhere.
Okay.
I probably misplaced it, what I'm thinking, but Cameron has quoted that several times, and I feel like a fool because I don't know what's going on there, so it's my fault, probably.
No problem. I'll get it up.
Can you copy me on that, too? I'm in the same boat. I know for a fact that the two previous authority managers ago sent that to me, and I filed it in a very special place.
I'll make sure all of you get a copy of it tomorrow.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I've got mine. Hard copy.
Okay, Cameron, do you have other comments?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I think this is probably a cleaning up. I think the meeting that we had Carolyn, that you seconded, I've been going through Robert's rules of board of how the president can second, and I know that we are a small board, and I know that this book is probably outdated because it was 1977, But what I did come from, of the stuff that I've seen on the internet, that as the president to second or even to make any comments has to set aside, and the vice chair takes over the role as the chair, because as you have to be independent as the chair. So for you to second, you would have had to turn it over to Ann and then done your seconding for the motion for last week for those.
John?
Yeah, I'd like to comment on this because I feel like I was kind of responsible for it. This was the motion in regards, I believe, to it was either appointing Michelle authority manager or coming up with her salary. I can't remember which one it was. And I believe I made the comment that the chair can second a motion. And that's true, but I did go back and look at Robert's Rules of Order, and there is some sort of ambiguity and clarification there. In small boards, there's a different set of recommendations than in large boards. And the recommendation is that if a chair is going to either make a motion or second a motion, that the chair should temporarily pass control of the meeting to the vice chair before doing so. And so even though the chair is a full voting member, to avoid any, you know, potential the word's escaping me, but to be super transparent, the best thing to do, I think best practices are for the board chair to temporarily turn the meeting over to the vice chair before making that motion. So I think Cameron is right on the technicality side of it. So maybe we should have some sort of a policy that we can come up with where we could come up with a set of procedures so that we don't get into this situation again.
Let's put it on the agenda at a future meeting in the next couple of months and review that at that point. I did some reviewing myself, and there's a lot of ambiguity around it, and we can figure out what works best for us. So when things cool down a bit, we'll get into that. And until then, I don't think we'll need to do what we need to do. Oh, Rochelle, did you? Oh, she's
no, sorry.
Never mind. Sorry.
I think the ambiguity is I don't think there was any nefariousness. I just think that to be completely transparent, it'd be good to have a policy, especially with a small board. I mean, if the chair relinquishes their duties to the vice chair, but the vice chair was the one who made the motion, does that mean it needs to go down to the next person? And eventually you get into this sort of circular catch-22 thing. And I think some of the newer updates to Robert's Rules of Order have made some exceptions for small boards to get away from that. And you know, this is getting pretty deep into it, but I think just for transparency, if we adopted a policy so that anyone who's watching our meetings can know that we have integrity, I think it'd be a good idea.
Yeah. We also, I believe, need to adopt what version of Robert's Rules of Order we're working under, which I saw some documentation, and I don't believe it's been done before, or if it's been done before, it's buried somewhere.
I found that in the Attorney General's public records and meetings.
Referring to is I don't think this board has adopted a Robert's Rules of Order version that we're following and that we can refer to, and I believe that we need to do so if that hasn't been done previously. So we have some housekeeping to do around that particular issue, and we'll get the research done and get it on the agenda sometime in the future here.
If we do that, I would like to see all board members have a book of whatever we decide of something, so you can refer back to for your own stuff.
That I'm sure would come up in part of the discussion. I'm trying to keep us at this point with director comments only and not conducting business because it's not on the agenda, even though it's a super important issue. So let's get it on a future agenda. I'll think about it and we'll figure out how to work it out.
Okay. Also, it bothered me that we were kind of at a stalemate at the meeting when we're discussing Michelle's wages and stuff. I think it took you were the one that made the second on that, and you also. I'd like to see that we come up with something that if we all are, if we're stumped in a split, that it be brought back at another time. I felt like I didn't have enough information about wages and stuff. I was really frustrated and I couldn't make a decision. And I think that I felt like other people were maybe forced into it. I don't know. I can't speak for others. But if we ever come to that, I would like to see us revisit it. I don't think we need, there's nothing, I think, that have to be immediately decided. And I just felt like that was rushed. And I really didn't appreciate that. I really didn't. Other things, we do research on other things to find out. Why can't we do the same as far as the wages or anything else? I don't know if anybody else was frustrated with that, but I didn't appreciate it. I really didn't. So.
Okay. Thank you for your comment. Any other comments? John?
Yeah, I apologize. I think I stepped away when we were talking about this, so I made some notes to just come back to it. I wanted to circle back for a minute to the discussion on COVID and vaccines. You know, just my personal opinion, I mean, I hate masks. I hate wearing masks. I got this damn thing around my neck all the time so I can hurry up and put it on when I need to, but you know, right or wrong, and believe me, I think there's a lot wrong with it. You know, our duly elected leaders have put together mask and social distancing policies. And I think some of those policies are ridiculous, but nonetheless, that's the way the policies are. And I think that the authority ought to enforce those policies that are on the books. And I know that we are. And I think what's going to happen personally is I don't think the mask rules are going anywhere. I think they're going to be with us until 2022 at the earliest. I don't think they're going anywhere, and the way I see things going, I think our elected leaders are not going to make a change to the mask policy until we've hit somewhere between 70 and 80% of the population vaccinated. And until that percentage of the population is vaccinated, we're going to be wearing masks for a long time, and we ought to be enforcing mask rules. As much as I hate them, that's just the reality. I think that was it for public discussion. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments? Right. Yes, Cameron?
I would like to see that Michelle's, as the manager, that it is posted that she is the interim manager. I mean, she's got the things down as the manager. I would like to see the word interim put into that anywhere that it sort of needs to be, please.
No, she has been appointed the interim authority manager with all the responsibilities that go with the authority manager's position, and she's following that particular job description. So it is our manager's report.
But she is the interim.
She's been appointed for the interim.
Then it should reflect that.
We'll take that under advisement. Thank you, Cameron.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, you guys nail me for to go by things by the book. I would like to see the same thing done.
I appreciate the suggestion. The agenda is my responsibility. Anything else? right. It is 7:11, and I will adjourn our business meeting. Thank you very much for your time, and we'll see you at the end of April.